Welcome to Brad Golf Podcast, a podcast for the average golfer. My name is Dermot Bradfield and golf is in my blood. Join me as I fumble my way around this fascinating sport. Welcome back to Brad Golf. It's the 5th of August and this is episode 11 of the Brad Golf Podcast series. As usual, I'm joined by Nigel Cosgrave. Hiya, Nigel. How are you doing?
How you doing, Dermot? How are things with you?
Good, thank you. Good. Nigel, welcome back for Nigel's picks. This is a big week. PGA Championship, so that's a big one.
First major of the year.
As you were saying, the weeks are rolling in pretty quick, aren't they?
Yeah, I can't believe it's August already. It's crazy. I don't know. I think the lockdown has kind of robbed us of a couple of months of our lives, if not 3 months or 4 months of our lives. It's just, we're in this twilight zone. But this is going to be a big week. It's going to be a historic week. First major championship with no fans, but it's the first major championship of 2020. There may not be fans, there may not be shouts and roars, but I think there's going to be a lot on the line.
There sure is. Also today, we're going to look at current events on the PGA Tour, but let's be honest, everything is geared towards the PGA Championship this week. We'll have a look, little bit of a look back at home as well for Ireland and to our own club. Gavin Walsh is going to be very quiet this week. I would ask for our very loyal fans, of which we have some, which is great, please do subscribe to the podcast. You'll find Brad Golf TV on Anchor, Google, Apple, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and Radio Republic, and others. So feel free to follow and subscribe there. On social media, please follow, like, retweet, and share on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook. You'll find Brad Golf TV on all of those platforms. It's bradgolf.ie on Facebook, but on all the others, it's Brad Golf TV. And you can also drop us an email at bradgolftv@gmail.com. So this week, I've picked out two tweets that have come in to us that we will go into a little bit of a conversation on. So please do contact us. We're only too happy to respond back. Feedback, criticism, comments, whatever it might be. How much Nigel has cost you this week? I'd love to hear about that as well. Anything at all, we'd be only too happy to hear from you. Okay, so straight off, let's launch into a recap on the WGC FedEx at St. Jude. The Invitational. So, Nigel, what a week for your picks. I mean, ultimately, well done, mate, because you gave us some entertainment over the weekend. Not just on the WGC FedEx for the record, but you gave us some entertainment. And I'm going to take something that you said to me on the Sunday morning. I'm going to feed it back to everyone. It was nearly a perfect week. And at one stage on Sunday morning, I think it was around 10 o'clock in the morning, you sent me a message. You were getting a little bit cocky, but you said, Sam Horsfield leads in the Hero Open, Brendan Todd leads the St. Jude, and Troy Merritt leads the Barracuda. You were starting to get a bit cocky, but I tell you what, it was quite incredible at that stage. I was thinking to myself, how can we make this a pay-per-listen pod? Because we're sitting on a gold mine here.
Yeah.
What a week.
We need to set up a paywall.
I think
definitely.
So.
I wish they could have, all three tournaments could have had monsoon rains and the last round was all called off because on Saturday night and Sunday morning, I was quids in, absolute quids in. I had an expectation that I would be lucky to get one of the three really at that stage.
Yeah. And to be essentially, fair to you, right? You did predict it. You said, Brendan, and Don Lohagan tweeted in, he said, look, I knew I should have cashed out on Todd. And Nigel was right when he said, and I quote, Todd has problems on Sundays. So, you know, you didn't blindly send us into the abyss here. You gave us good advice and we probably should have listened and cashed out.
Yeah, I bumped into Donald Hagan in the car park in Donna Bay. Yeah, and I told him, listen, he's looking good at the moment, Brendan Todd. And it was a pretty good pick. Given what happened at the Travelers, there was always the nagging feeling that he was going to collapse in some way. And slowly but surely, he did. He didn't collapse straight away. And I actually don't think I personally don't think he choked as such.
Yeah,
I actually think he actually lost his kind of swing. He he played poorly, really, and he, like, say the occasion, the fact that he was in the lead probably got to him to a certain extent, but he basically lost his ring. He was pulling a lot of shots. He couldn't find his game again, and he tried his best to save it. So I wouldn't put it down as a pure choke. I would just put it down as the fact that his game kind of fell apart a bit. And he was 40 on back nine on Sunday, and, you know, five over for the round, you know.
Yeah.
That's not gonna win you anything. Sure. But we got places. Oh, yeah. Xander Schauffele came into a place, and we got a full place in Phil Mickelson.
Yeah. Great call.
So in the end, Phil Mickelson was a better call than Brendan Todd. You know, they unfortunately the bookies don't pay out on Saturday night, so we did okay.
I got a little bit of abuse, must be said, on Sunday evening on WhatsApp.
So
these are people who were afraid to put it in the public domain via Twitter, but sending me messages going, "Brendan Todd is a disgrace," and you know what? There was a little bit of disappointment there, but friendly abuse, I should say.
But the thing about Todd was in the lead from Friday night.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, it's actually happened to me four or five times now since the breakdown, or since not the breakdown, the pandemic shutdown.
Yeah. Felt like you had a bit of a breakdown over the shutdown. But yeah, you're right.
And
the leaders after.
Where it's Chris Kirk or Webb Simpson or Phil Mickelson. Yeah. Only Webb converted.
Yeah.
Because Webb is comfortable. He's a major champion. He's you know, he's playing
long of his life.
He's comfortable being in the lead. The likes of Brendan Todd and Chris Kirk, you know, they're still not ready to be that front runner. I wish they had a 36 hole market.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, a great week.
We got one winner.
Yeah.
Sam Horsfield, Hero Open. I probably didn't publicize it enough, but yeah, he was a 30-1 winner, 1.5 points each way, and very happy with that because I've tipped up Sam a few times. I think he's potentially a multiple tour winner. You can see him contending in a major in the next few years. He's got a lot of game, and this could be the start of something big. I know it's only the Hero Open, and it's a small money tournament on a European tour. It's, you know, struggling to survive, but I think he's going to be one for the future.
Yeah, win's a win.
And
you beat what's in front of you, Nigel, you know?
Yeah, and I also had Troy Merritt, who was leading on Saturday night, and he managed to have nine pars on the back nine in Barracuda. He only needed one birdie. One birdie would have got the win for us, but he decided to have nine pars and handed the tournament to Rishi Wierenski. I actually had Troy Merritt, Xander Schauffele, and Sam Horsfield in an each-way treble. So that also got me some money back as well. So because Xander was only a partial each way, it wasn't much really, but the situations where there's two or three tournaments on a weekend, it's always good to have them in a multiple bet as well sometimes.
Yeah, so you've lots to spend really for the PGA then. So you've loads of money to put into.
Of a war chest.
Excellent. Right, well, a great week. Let's fingers crossed you can get a week like that now leading into the PGA, of course. So in other news then, Shane Lowry did well at the WGC FedEx. Perfect prep for the PGA Championship, you know, perfect kind of practice for it. He's jumped up from 149 to 130th in the FedEx, so he's just outside that 125, but he's in the Wyndham, so there's a good chance that he can make it over the line and into the 125 there. A good weekend for Shane.
Yeah, he was tied six. He was very consistent this weekend. You know, he's hitting the ball great. I think there's only little things that need to come together for him to contend for the major this weekend. He seemed to be happy to have Bo back on as his caddy.
Yes, yeah.
That settled his mind for the week. It looks good. I've seen him as 70-1 this week, and I wouldn't I wouldn't argue with anyone putting a few quid in him because
45. No, you know, he's 45 to 1 at the minute. 45 to 1.
That's when a certain bookmaker who will remain nameless. I've seen better prices elsewhere with other bookmakers who shall remain nameless.
Okay. Cool. So, fingers crossed for Shane there. It'd be great to bring it home. Sadly, there's been 14 withdrawals from the PGA Championship. Most notably, John Daly and Padraig Harrington. Daly, because of what he said, you know, he said, people keep asking, this is a quote from good old John Daly, people keep asking why I withdrew from the PGA. California is now number one in cases and deaths. I had knee surgery. I'm a diabetic and I don't feel comfortable flying. Being too close, proximity, even small crowds and risk exposure with my health, not worth it. God bless you all and be safe. So I think, yeah, for someone like John Daly, it makes sense. Padraig Harrington, it's a long way to travel when he's not playing competitive golf at the minute. While understanding he gets a free invite, being a previous champion, it's a long way for him to go. So you can understand that. But more notably, again, is Lee Westwood and Eddie Pepperell have decided not to travel. So 14 withdrawals, understandable, must be said.
I'm surprised there weren't more, actually.
Yeah.
Lee Westwood had kind of flagged up that he wasn't going to play from a long way out, has kind of criticised how the PGA Tour and America in general have kind of dealt with the coronavirus thing. He believes they're not taking it seriously. And he's probably right to a certain extent.
But is he going to go, to Augusta? Is he going to go to Augusta?
He'd probably go to the US Open as well.
Yeah.
I think he obviously doesn't, there's probably another story here that he probably doesn't rate the PGA Championship. Probably sees it as the weaker of the majors. I think he skipped it last year as well. So that's probably to be expected. Eddie Pepperell is very much a man of his own mind. He didn't play very well last week either, so I don't think he should stay across the Atlantic anyway.
Yeah.
Brandon Grace had to withdraw. He was diagnosed with COVID-19 after the second round of the Barracuda last week. That was a bit worrying for him. There's people like Ryan Moore who got a place and then turned it down, strangely. Said there was a scheduling difficulty or some sort of thing. I don't know.
Which you'd find very strange.
They still have they still have a great field. It was very expected that John Daly wouldn't partake. The guy is lucky to be alive, in my estimation.
Well, you didn't have to redo your picks now because he pulled out, I hope. You know?
No.
Right.
Still putting 50 cents on Rich Beam.
God, my goodness. So, 14 withdrawals as of a couple of hours ago at least. So let's hope it doesn't increase from there. Seamus Power had an excellent top 10 at the Barracuda. So he's now just 100 points off the FedEx 125. So, he could
It was good for him.
Oh,
he wasn't good for punters.
He needs a top four though in the Wyndham. So that's where he's at.
He needed an extra birdie for us to get an each way back, but we'll say nothing about that. We're talking through our pocket here.
Absolutely. Well, look, it'd be fantastic for him to make the 125. It would, secure his card, a full card as well. And who knows? It gives him an opportunity to play for some big money as well.
Do you know if he's in the Wyndham?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. So he's in the Wyndham.
All right.
But he needs to finish top four there to get into the 125. So it's there, but he's going to need a really big tournament at the Wyndham. So fingers crossed. Groupings have been announced for the PGA, and the big one is Tiger, JT, and Rory. I mean, I don't care who else is going to the PGA. I just watch that.
Yeah, any grouping with Tiger in, it's going to have prime time viewing.
Yeah, Tiger with Tiger, they're well used to playing with each other now, so that's too.
Yeah, I think Tiger puts the kind of hex on Rory a bit, or he doesn't play quite as well maybe with him.
Yeah,
JT seems to play quite well with Tiger. They partnered very well in the President's Cup.
President's, yeah,
the marquee group. All cameras will be focused on them. I wonder how Tiger's going to go. He actually has a great, really good record at Harding Park.
Yeah.
He won the WGC in 2005. He was 5 points out of five at the President's Cup in 2009 when Arling Park hosted it. I'm not sure if he played at the 2015. I don't know if he actually did play in the 2015 WGC match play, but he's got a lot of good feelings come to this place. The only problem is that he has played hardly any golf in the last 6 months. So it's anyone's guess how he'll play, really.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a grouping to watch. I wonder if it's the PGA's way of managing Rory so he doesn't get a major, that they just keep putting him out with Tiger. Who knows? From the Twitter machine, Gary Murray has asked a question of Nigel. So he says, does Nigel reckon that 2000-1 from Paddy Power, whoops, I mentioned him, for John O'Leary to win the PGA is poor value? It would be some comeback. Hashtag Lazarus. So I presume Gary is referring to the giant of the game that was John O'Leary, who died at age 70 in March of this year. Former Ryder Cup player, Irish Open champion of 1982 at Portmarnock. And also he's on the European Tour as the director of golf for 34 years. A giant of the game. Passed away sadly in March of this year. I presume that's who he's talking about. But there is a John O'Leary, an American John O'Leary on the PGA Tour in America, who's at 2000-1.
I didn't realise that. 2000-1, wow. Most of it, see, there's one thing about the and this kind of characterises the PGA Championship. Obviously, it's all about professionals. There are no amateurs in the PGA Championship, but they allow 20 club pros to enter. These will be teaching pros from various clubs around, usually from around America. Usually they have a championship, a club PGA Professionals Championship, and the top 20 qualify for the PGA Championship. But because of the pandemic, they weren't able to hold that tournament. So they had a kind of an order of merit and picked the pros from that. But most of those guys are in the 2000-1 bracket.
Yeah.
But you never know. One or two of them always do quite well.
Make the cut. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on then from the PGA, and we will come back, obviously. We will come back to it. But tomorrow's the big one. Like, whatever about the PGA this weekend, I know it's a big one, but I think most media is focusing on the match that's on tomorrow. So that, just for record, that's 10 to 6 tomorrow at Donabay Golf Club. It's the foursomes match between ourselves. So how are you fixed? How are you feeling?
Oh, I don't feel good at all. physically and mentally, no, when it's nothing to do with golf.
Work's busy at the moment, is it?
Work is busy enough, yeah. Just had a bit of a heavy Sunday. Hence why I played so badly in the Scratch Cup on Monday.
Oh, we'll come to that in a minute, yeah. Well, I've run into Marcin a couple of times over the weekend, really. And he looked really confident and positive each time I saw him. So that made me sick to the core. But
he's playing well. He's playing well.
Yeah, I get that feeling. And I saw him hitting a few shots and I thought, oh, okay, we're in for a match here. Yeah, so it's all on tomorrow evening. There'll be a few tweets going out. But match will be very serious, very focused on both sides. So I'm looking forward to it, I must say. It's the highlight of the week for me.
Event of the week.
Oh, definitely.
And it's only a major championship week.
It is. Forget about the meet. That's a secondary event. And there's only one shot in this one, so it's pretty much scratch golf, which is good.
Oh, yeah. Like I wonder why there's one shot.
Oh, you know what I mean? I've just about drifted out. I've hit 7 for the first time in, I think, 2 years. I've drifted to 6.5, so
we're kind of... Just in time as well.
Gavin Watch, well, we're taking a week off on Gavin Watch, so there'll be nothing to report on there. So I'm just going to park that one. At our own golf club, the Junior Scratch Cup. So a little bit of a recap there. You were heavily hungover.
Mm-hmm.
That affected you quite significantly. So I was just
glad to make my tee time.
Right. Okay. Now, you were playing with Daryl. Is that right?
No, I was playing with my in-laws. That was the main reason I turned up.
I got you. So you said I better turn up. Yeah, because what I was going to ask you is, how did Daryl play? Because I see Daryl had a good score considering the horrendous couple of days he's had, or Daryl's had his golf clubs stolen on him, and went out and played, was it a 70? Net 70, I think?
I don't remember. I think he shot 80. Gross. He was going well in the front nine and did not so well in the back nine.
Right. Yeah, I think he was close to, if it wasn't...
I think he got close, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think either 70 or 71, yeah. So net. So, yeah, good shooting with a spare set, wherever he got them from. Considering he had such a, you know, it's a horrendous thing to happen to anyone, relatively new clubs as well, to have them stolen, it's heartbreaking. Myself, I had a horrendous opening nine. It was 5 over after 6, and I just wanted to go home. And I got a remarkable double bogey on the sixth. Like, I had to get up and down from 120 metres for 7 on the sixth hole on yellow. It was just that bad of a start. And then everything was great. I finished pretty much level par from there.
You pretty much relaxed then at that stage.
Yeah, I think that was it. I just kind of, yeah, I started going for things. I started just not worrying about the next shot. Got a couple of birdies. And yeah, I shot my handicap. And I just wondered afterwards what could have been if I hadn't 2 brain farts in the opening 6 holes. So, Chinua will. But it was great to see a junior winning it. Now, I know it was a couple of years ago we had a junior win it, but we had Ben Hanratty shot level par 72 to take the cup. Now, the results haven't been announced, but that's what's up on How Did I Do? So I'm assuming he is our winner. But great achievement for the young lad.
Indeed, yeah. Very good player.
Then just on the Junior Scratch Cup Tour, I'm on a bit of a tour of it myself. This Sunday, the 9th, I am playing in Lee Valley Golf Club in Cork. I was going down anyway to a family event on, and this club was about 12 miles away from my home in Cork, original home, and I've never played there. I used to play all my golf in Macroom Golf Club, which would be the other side of my home, and I was going down, and I just said, oh, I'll have a look, see if there's any golf on in my local area, and bingo, there's a Junior Scratch Cup on the Sunday. So I'm looking forward to that, Lee Valley Golf Club. You've been invited, Nigel, to Athy. Hopefully you can make it Saturday the 15th.
Not sure.
Not sure at the time. We have a full-time sheet at home in Donabate, so a few of us are talking about hitting the road and going to Athy. It's about an hour from where I live, which is about the maximum of where I'd go for a Junior Scratch Cup. But there's 4 of us going so far. So Mark Lawler, Ben Hanratty, and his father Damien, and myself. The 4 of us are scheduled to travel anyway on the 15th. So looking forward to that. Be able to play with a very recent Junior Scratch Cup champion. Maybe he's going to rack up a few of these in the next couple of weeks. Who knows?
Yeah, he's good enough. He's definitely good enough.
And finally then, on news, we've got the Pierce Purcell is on this weekend from a Donabate point of view. The boys are playing Hoth on Sunday the 9th. We've 3 matches away in Hoth and 2 at home. Have you ever played Hoth, Nigel?
Yes, I've played Hoth Golf Club 3 or 4 times, actually. I enjoy it. A lot of people wouldn't take kindly to it. it's quite a walk.
Yeah.
You're pretty much walking up the side of Hoth Head twice, because they do 2 loops for the 2 nines, and the loop comes back to the clubhouse, which is at the bottom of the hill, and you go back up the hill. So it's a bit frustrating that way, but I guess it's a quirky little course.
Yeah,
I get you can. If you've got a good short game, you can do well there. Because yeah, the greens are so small, so you're going to have to do a lot of chipping.
Yeah.
Button. So it's a short course, actually, and there's some great views from up in the top of the hill. You can see all the way down up the east coast and down towards Wicklow and Wexford, and up towards, you can see the Moran Mountains up in County Down. So it's, I know you're not a big fan of it.
It's my least, now I'm going to offend a lot of people with this, but it's my least favorite golf club. But everything you said there is right. The views are fantastic. The setting is brilliant. The course, it's made for a short game. It really is, because the fairways, a lot of them are tilted. So you kind of got right to left and left to right. So you're going to get bounces. You're on small greens, means you're going to be chipping more often than not. It's made for the short game. But after 4 holes, I just wanted to go home and cry. It was just such a struggle of a walk. I think if you don't get a bogey there, you won't enjoy yourself. And I've advised the manager of the Pierce Personal team to spread the word to his crew to get bogeys. And he said, oh, it's probably not so bad. And he went up there 2 days ago, I think it was. And he said, yeah, after four holes, he was done. I mean, the second hole is a short par three. And then you have to climb a mountain to get to the next tee box. And you just feel like, oh, this is so tough. And you're not even a fraction away up the hill at this stage. So, yeah, I'm just not a fan. But they've been big match there. To have three away from home, I think, of all clubs to play away to, I think home advantage is going to be very important in that one. So they're up against it, but they have a good team. This Pierce Purcell team, the handicap range that it is Uden Cup territory, and they have been very strong in the Uden Cup in the last couple of years. Fancy them to get something here against Hoth. But it's a big one.
Best of luck to the lads.
Yeah, best of luck to the lads. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, moving on to the second most important event of the week, and that is the PGA Championship. So in a short summary, Brooks has won here the last 2 years. He's gone for two in a row. The last person to do anything like that was Walter Hagen, who won four in a row back in the 20s. So no one has done three in a row really here. Walter Hagen back when it used to be match play back in the 1920s. Rory won here in 2014 and 2012. Seems like a long time ago. In fact, it is a long time ago. So what, we're 6 years since Rory won the PGA Championship. Padraig Harrington won it back in 2008. And when I was looking at the past winners, he was the first from the UK and Ireland to win the PGA Championship when he won it. Except for the first 2 years it was ever held, when it was won by an English player whose name is gone from me, but we're going back to the very early 1900s. But really, in modern or even post-war years, Padraig Harrington was the first from the UK or Ireland to win this back in 2008. This year being held at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. It's a public course. Nigel, I checked. I can get us in Tuesday week, but it's $300 green fees for a game.
I'd still play.
You're up for it.
I'd still play, yeah.
Yeah.
We should play our match there.
Well, now we're talking. I think the lads wouldn't have any issue with that either. It'd be a very interesting game. Yeah. Loser pays. How about that?
Oh.
Challenge
accepted. Does that include the airfare?
That'd be some match. Designed by Sam Whiting and Willie Watson. Established the same year as Donabate Golf Club. What year was that, Nigel?
1925.
Yeah, exactly. Par 72, 7,169 yards. It hosted many, many big tournaments. But the one that kind of popped out to me because it's recent enough was the 2015 WGC Cadillac Match Play, which was won by Rory. So Rory has pedigree here, and I'm sure he's going to be mentioned in your picks. Either if you picked him or you didn't, you get some mention. So I'll hand over to you, Nigel, for Nigel's picks.
Yes, WGC Match Play in 2015 was definitely a factor in some of the selections here. There's also a nod towards really value in the market. There's a lot. I found it quite difficult to kind of to narrow in on any particular player this week. But our headline selection is a man who's come back from back-to-back 80s. Whoa. Only a few weeks ago. And we're going 3 points at 18-1 on Dustin Johnson. Basically because he plays great in California. His Pebble Beach form was a big kind of factor in going for this. It's only down the road from Harding Park. He goes well in this sort of track. He's going to have to hit a lot of long irons. You got a long straight driver of the ball. I think he's got his game here. I don't know what happened in the last couple of weeks, but I don't know if it was actual a physical back problem or not, but DJ's got a nice clean shave. You saw him there with a clean face on the weekend. So I think he's ready to roll. I mean, 18-1 is what I saw him in. That was the best price I've seen him at. I think he might be able to get 20s 22 in other places. I'm not sure. But he's the headline selection for this week. I think he's back. I think he's raring to go. I think he only won in the Travelers a month ago. Whatever happened in between, he shouldn't have even gone to the 3M Championship. I think you can completely disregard that.
Yeah.
He's at a great price. Normally, if this was a major last year or the year before, he'd be lucky to get Dustin Johnson at more than 10-1.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at that price, I think we've got to go for him. He had a good week last week.
So if he's your headline, Rory isn't. So tell us why. And I'm not disagreeing with you.
Rory has course form. There's no doubt about it. He won the WGC match play very well here. He was commanding at all stages of it. He hammered Gary Woodland in the final. And Gary Woodland was also in my shortlist as well, but I just felt that his current form isn't good enough, and Rory's current form isn't good enough either.
Yeah.
He hasn't adapted to the changed environment that is the post-COVID world. He's complained about fans not being there, no crowds, no atmosphere. And this week is not going to be like a typical major championship. And he hasn't adapted. He hasn't raised his game. He hasn't kind of found something within himself to kind of raise his game. Maybe this week he'll do it on a track that he knows well.
It would be from nowhere.
Yeah, there hasn't been any signs of it recently. I can see him maybe, getting the top 10, but not winning it, really. Yeah. There's no confidence there. See, Rory's game, the confidence comes from the driver, and then that feeds into the long irons, and it goes to the wedges and the putter. And he's always had kind of mixed form with the wedges and the putter. But when his driving starts going awry, which is what has happened over the last week, he hasn't been comfortable off the tee either. Well, then you can't really back him, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree with you. Okay, moving on then.
Next selection is the up-and-coming Colin Morikawa. I've seen him at various prices, but I know a certain bookmaker has him at 30-1. So we're going 2 points each way on him. And it's not the one you're thinking about.
Well, I'm on the one that you might be thinking about, and he's only 25. So you might need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's another Irish one, but it's not the one you're thinking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think Morikawa's credentials are fairly obvious. His current form is incredible. He should have won the Colonial. He won the Workday Charity Open at the Muirfield Village. He shot a very good round last Sunday. He didn't really feature prominently earlier in the week, but he definitely was running on at the end last week. He has played Harding Park, I'd say, numerous times because he went to college in Stanford, which is just up the road from here. He knows the area. He knows the course very well. He's in great form currently. He's a great iron player, which is going to be a strong asset in this golf course. So I think he's got to be of the kind of up-and-coming generation of players that are coming up, he's the top of them. He's the cream of them. And I think he's a very good chance. I almost put him as the headline selection.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, absolutely, I'd agree.
Next, we're going across the pond back to our side of the Atlantic to an English little hothead called Tyrrell Hatton. Mm-hmm. Now, Tyrrell has got his aggression and rage under control. He's won the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He possibly could have won at Harbortown at the RBC Heritage. His game is very strong at the moment. He's going to like the test with the narrow fairways at TPC Arden Park. I've had reports, actually, Mark Lawyer forwarded me on reports of fairways being no more than 24 yards. I've actually had 22 yards, some of the fairways might be. They're very narrow. Tyrrell Hatton's got a very accurate game. He's a good grinder. He's putting well. He's in form. He's won this year. I just think 40-1 is not a great price, but I think he's going to definitely contend this week. It's the sort of tournament where he could possibly make his major breakthrough. So we're going 40-1, 1.25 points each way. The next two selections are kind of a little bit, I wouldn't say from the past, but definitely guys who we were wondering whether they'd seen their better days, but they're sort of coming back to form now. They're both at 66-1. The first guy is Louis Oosthuizen. Louis had a great run in the WGC match play here in Harding Park back in 2015. He was tied sixth last week since the lockdown has finished and golf has come back. He's been in great form. The backs doesn't seem to be giving him too much problems. He's swinging well. He's scoring well. He played well at Memorial. 66-1 for a guy who's got the Grand Slam of runner-ups at major championships. It's a great bet for this week. 66-1, 1 point each way. And the other guy is another similar profile. He went well at Harding Park. No, actually, didn't get out of the groups in Harding Park at the WG match play in 2015, but back in 2005, he was a top 10 finisher. It's Sergio Garcia, 66-1, also 1 point each way. Sergio's hitting the ball well. He's in good form. He's possibly not putting four rounds quality golf together, but I think it'll come together this week. He loves the PGA Championship. This is the sort of course that can suit his ball striking ability. He's accurate. He can shape it both ways. And I think the greens aren't demanding enough. They're not as sloping and undulating as other courses and other major championship venues, because putting is probably his weakest part. So I don't think it's going to put as much pressure on his putting. So Sergio Garcia can go well this week, 66-1. I've always gone try and fight value for any of my selections, and for my sixth selection, I've gone for the Iceman from Sweden, Henrik Stenson, at 80-1, 1 point each way. Henrik was a top 10 here in 2005. He's only just come back to playing golf competitively himself in the last week or so, but he was solid enough around Southwind at the St. Jude last week, and I think his long iron game is going to suit this course. They're long par threes. You're going to be long par fives, hitting like there's a couple of par fives that are well over 500 yards. The greens are not too slopey. Again, Stenson wouldn't be the best putter in the world. He's pretty good, but he's not the best putter in the world. So I think this is going to suit him. So 80-1 for Henrik Stenson. I've got one long shot that I'm very confident about, and he's a very recent winner.
John Daly. Right, go on, sorry.
No. He recently had his debut appearance on the Champions Tour, and he won on his debut appearance. He is at a top 10 in 2000. He was just outside the top 10 here in 2005. He got to, I think it was the quarterfinals or the semifinals of the WGC here in 2015. He's won a US Open here. He almost won a US Open just across the lake from here at Olympic, the Olympic Club. It's Jim Furyk, 200-1. Ooh. Half a point each way. I just think Jim is, you know, narrow fairways. He doesn't hit it very long, but he's never going to be off the short grass. It's going to be fairways and greens, and hopefully his putter warms up. Because I think if it does, and if he manages his game, he's not going to be able to. There's only two par fives in this course, so he's going to be laying up on both of those. But if he gets his wedge game and his putting game going, he could hang with them, because it's not going to be a big winning score that's going to win here. It's going to be a tough but a fair challenge. It's going to be birdie opportunities, but there's also going to be challenges. I think 200-1, I know he's 50 now, and maybe I should be going for the other 50-year-old, Phil Mickelson. But Phil, you know, he paid me back last week. But I think Jim is going to do some good stuff this week.
Yeah, at that price, worth 50 cent, you know, each way.
Yeah. So the rundown of the selections for the 2020 PGA Championship is Dustin Johnson, 18-1, 3 points each way. Colin Morikawa, 30-1, 2 points each way. Cheryl Hatton, 40-1, 1.25 points each way. Louis Oosthuizen 66-1 a point each way. Sergio Garcia 1 point each way, 66-1. Henrik Stenson 80-1, 1 point each way. And Jim Furyk 200-1, half a point each way.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to it already. What odds would you give Mark Mackey and John Bradfield tomorrow winning before 17th? So winning 3-2.
What odds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah.
Well, you're getting long shot territory there.
is that Jim Furyk kind of numbers? Is that what we're talking
about? No, it's no. Not that bad.
Not that bad, right. I hear you.
10-1.
Okay, interesting. Well, I'll see if any of our viewers want to take that one up. Well, Nigel, thanks a million for that. I can't wait for the PGA Championship. I am looking forward to tomorrow evening for our match, and I'll talk to you over the week. So thanks again.
Yeah, no problem.
So just to confirm, this podcast is not sponsored in any way. All views expressed in this podcast are my own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever with which I have been, am now, or will be affiliated. Please do subscribe to the podcast, Brad Golf TV. You'll find me on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Google, etc., etc. Please follow, like, retweet, and share on social media. It's Brad Golf TV on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. On Facebook, you'll find me at bradgolf.ie. And you can also drop me an email at bradgolftv@gmail.com. Looking forward to hearing from you in the weeks and months ahead. You've been listening to Brad Golf Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Please do come back soon and join me for another round.